really a message series on ways to know that you know God. And I'll just put that verse, 1 John 5:13, which is kind of a summary of why John has written this letter to the church. He wants people to know that they know God. He wrote a letter to believers, and unlike, you know, some of Paul's letters or some of the letters that are written to individual pastors that lead churches, and those letters show up in the New Testament, the book of 1 John is just a letter to all the Christians. And we have every reason to believe that it kept circulating among many churches, and it's gotten to us here today because God has preserved it. And here it is. So I want you to know, God wants you to know, that you have eternal life. Do you know it? Do you know it? Now, he's given us some ways to know that. And I want to talk this morning about one way that we know God. It's big. It's foundational. It's essential that you know it and live it. And to introduce what it is, I want to introduce what it's not. I want to talk about some oxymorons. You know what an oxymoron is, right? It's two words that sound contradictory and they're in a phrase together. For example, so an oxymoron could be something like deafening silence, right? But they don't belong together. A deafening silence. That doesn't make sense. You're scratching your head over that one. Or have you ever asked somebody that you want to be with, you know, can we be alone together? But how do you be alone? Together. Like, that's an oxymoron. It doesn't work. One of my favorites is if something is pretty ugly. It shouldn't work, but we know what we mean, right? But it's an oxymoron. Or if something is awfully good. or if you go to the restaurant for lunch after church and you get some jumbo shrimp. That's an oxymoron. Are you good? Well, no, don't go. Don't go to the restaurant because we're having soup and bun downstairs. In fact, lunch downstairs is a definite possibility. Oxymoron. Or you know, if you read stuff in the news and somebody gives a press release, that doesn't make sense. Press release. How does that work? But there it is. Or maybe some of you drove here this morning in your Dodge Ram. Think about it. Those two words don't belong together. or my favorite one, this page intentionally left blank. if they've written that, it's not blank anymore. It's an oxymoron. John says, you can't say, I'm a Christian, but I don't love you. Oxymoron. Unloving Christian. Those are two words that just do not belong together. Let's talk about that today. John puts enormous emphasis on love throughout this book. In fact, this is the passage we're going to look at today, which is in chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. And we won't look at it all at once. We're going to just kind of look at it piece by piece by piece. We'll get through all of it, but piece by piece through the message today. But if you want to turn there in your Bibles, you can. John 4, starting in verse 7 is where we're going to go. But actually, back in chapter 3, he wrote a big chunk on love and how important that is. We'll refer to that passage a few times this morning as well. But in John's book here, 45 times in 26 verses, he refers to love. Like, this is really important stuff. If you say something over and over and over again, it means it's really important. If you say something over and over and over again, it's really important. That was a joke. That was my lame one for the day. Anyway, it's either really important, or sometimes you say something over and over again because it's very important and because it's potentially very hard to do and people need reminders. John is putting this emphasis on love over and over because it is important, but because it's also difficult. And so he starts and ends the passage we're looking at today with the same statement. Dear friends, he says, let us love one another. Now remember, John is responding, knowledge is everything. Like, he's responding. Remember, we talked a few weeks ago about the Gnostics. And they said, all more and more and more stuff. And your knowledge is just going to rise you. And John is responding to this idea that didn't come in the flesh, because physical life is spiritually. And and he's everything. And John seems to agree. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul makes this statement, but love builds up. Knowledge will puff you up. Who's full of knowledge and they're just kind of puffed up with it. And he puffs up, but love, that'll build people up. And if you want to know that you belong to God and add the essential, that's where he's going today. So let's talk about three things today. Why we love, how we love, and who we love. That down you can, but we're going to look at love today. And here's what he says. Dear friends, for love comes from, has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God, whoever does not, because God is love. Now, love is not all that God is. Okay, I'll point out a few of his, but love is a part of his basic essence. It's to separate God from love. Okay? Just as the same writer, but the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24, says God is, he is. That's part of his essence. Chapter 1, verse 5, John says God is light. Him there's no darkness. And we learn throughout the scriptures, which means he's set apart. He's so special. He's set apart from everything. God is powerful. God's faithful. God's true. God is, those things, they're elemental parts of it any more than I can shed my skin. When God acts, in other words, when in love, every part of it. When he rules in love. When in love. And so therefore, to us and to his readers, to his audience, he says, everyone who loves has already learned that to know. We've studied that concept in the weeks previous. In the world of God, love is only a logical thing. If love is part of who God is, it's part of his essence, he can't do anything. And if that God, then, logically speaking, we will begin to love. You just can't separate it out. I mean, what gets into you, whether that is, you know, if you ate too much garlic, you ever had a really strong meal, what comes out, right? And you know, and some things like a bunch of years, and I came back to Canada, and some of you remember when I, because what got into me came out of me, and I talk like an American. Apparently, it still slips out a little bit, but then when I lived in the States, if I, with somebody from Canada, the person that was, my kids would say, well, you're talking to grandma, aren't you? Oh, how do you again? What gets into us comes out of us. Love. What gets us will come out of you. That doesn't mean you don't need to work at it. To work at it is evidence that he's there, isn't it? Right? Here's the deal. We love because the God of love lives in. Now, I'm not saying that people know how to love. Because you know people, and you know people who don't know Jesus who know how to love. They love well. Sometimes they love better than you do. But that's the thing. Here's what Jesus said about it. And if too, Jesus says, even he says, you know, sometimes know how to love. If you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners that love those who love them. Even sinners, and quote unquote sinners, people who don't know God, and he loves everybody. Jesus said, no, people who love them. He says, even sinners know how to, you know, give good things to people who give. If you wanted to check out that passage, you could. It's calling you to love. Because a secular, for his or her family, or for the people that they work with, an able love to people. You know what they can't do? They can't explain the why. Because philosophies to their end, a philosophy that says there is no spiritual world, the physical is all we have, it's the strongest and the fittest that survive, then the only reason to show love is if it survives. You might show love, going to give you some safety, it's going to get you better treatment, it'll help you not be lonely, whatever it is, get you better. But that's pure. No, a lot of people who actually, quote unquote, love in order to get something back. But some people are humanists, people from other religions, some people actually just really love. Why? Because we've all been made by God, and all of us to that nature. But Jesus calls us why? And he says, we love because the God of love lives in us. That's the why. Why? That, how do we love? How do we love? Here's what John says. God showed his love among us. Now, this makes logical sense. Loving because the God of love lives in you. If what sense that the kind of love that God showed would be the kind of love that would show his love. This is the kind of love his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. And again, the knowledge did not come in the flesh, because why would a perfect spiritual God come into? And John said, no. Love was bigger because God, the perfect holy, entered into our messed up physical world. That's the kind of, he came when it was inconvenient, when it was costly, when it was uncomfortable, and he met it. That's love. Not that we love God, but his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we all one another. If God could do this for me and you, we can do it. What is love? Verse 11 continues. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love each other. And he's continuing there. Earlier, if you wanted to flip back 16, here's what he said back then. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we for our brothers. By the word, brothers means brothers and sisters, okay? It's not just a blue job, okay? That's for all of us. What he's saying about love, self-sacrificial, it's practical. It actually meets our people's lives. Famously said this. He's an old scholar. Before there were even differences, one Catholic Church back in the 1200s, and Thomas Aquinas was a great scholar in that to will the good of another. That's love. It's to say, what is good for the other? And I will that to work toward. God showed his love for us by doing exactly that expense. And John says, since God loved each other like that. So I'm going to just make this accessible to you as much as I can, because exactly like Jesus did, I'm not going to die on a cross with someone. You might not. In a practical sense, here it is. Love with your abilities, and it's different for some of you. I remember a friend of mine about this. I had this empty attic space in my house that I wanted to finish out above the garage, and I didn't know what I was doing in certain parts of that. He came over and he helped me finish that. And I walked away, and I had just read this passage. This is years ago, and I just read this passage, and I realized, oh, he didn't give me a hug, but he loved me, right? And help you hang drywall, you would not feel very loved. Okay? I could try. I could carry stuff for you. That's the way I'll love you. But you know, love with your abilities and love with your opportunities. You know certain people. Love with your opportunities in exactly the same way. But if we all love, and if you don't love, there is a need that isn't. Because God has given you opportunity and ability that only you have. So that's, you know, we can talk about as a church family, that we can do for each other to show love. Some of the folks that stick around after that's love. That clean up after soup and bun. But they pray in a corner with someone who's desperately, do you get it? Different opportunities, different abilities. That God opens our eyes to see what the need really is, but we look for the need. What does love accomplish? Verses 12 through 18. Here's what he says. No, God is spirit. Nobody's ever seen God. But if we love one another, it's in us. And his love is made complete in us. What? His love is made complete in us. It means when we don't love, there's in the way that God's love is shown in this world, in us. The false teachers that they claim special visions of God, in God. But his conclusion comes right back to the main point he's making. But his essence, remember, the essence of who God is, everything that God, he can't separate himself from love. And through the way we love. So what is love? A glimpse of God. On this earth, through his son, Jesus said, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. He said, you've seen me? Jesus is not on this earth right now. He's coming back. But now, by his Holy Spirit, but also his presence shows up in the love of his people, for John to have said. Such an important theme to him. If God shows up on this earth, how creation declares his glory. Yep. So it's pretty important. His love shows up, his people love. Love gives people a glimpse of God. And if God expresses himself through people, you have to ask yourself, am I living my life as an expression of God's? Phrase that in a different way. Would people know God's love? Take a deep breath. I hope so. I want more and more of that. and thing is that whatever God tells, well, what does love look like? I'm going to quote Augustine long, long, long ago. Augustine said this. I thought I had the quote. But I will. I'll tell you. He said this. What does love look like? Hands to help others, to the poor and needy. It has eyes, want. It has ears to hear the sigh of men. That is what love. That's how God shows up. And verse 13 to 16 goes. It sounds like it's not related to the rest of the passage, but it really is. Another thing that love accomplishes in our lives, we live in Him and He in us because He's given us of His Spirit. So His Spirit, that we belong to God. And we have seen and testified that the Father has, once again, He's saying Jesus really came. Part of how we know that we know, because we saw and touched Him. But if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is He and God, and so we know and has for us, God is love. Right, just to simplify it, one of the indicators of the filling is the sense that God loves you. Depend on this. We know and we rely on the love. When you taste what it is, and that's available to all of us, when you know who really came, lived, and died, and rose again, those moments when I have needed the presence of God in my life to me, and I've been alone with Him, and I've just been absolutely with the sense of His love for me. That's of the Spirit at work in your life. In fact, we that confidence in God. Remember, we said a couple of weeks ago, knowing God produces a couple that should not coexist. Humility, that sense of who we really need, but also confidence. In this world, humility and confidence, but when you are of who God really is and who you are before Him, you're going to be stunned by His holiness and holiness, but then at the same time wrapped up in the sense of, but He loves you, and you'll be filled with a kind of confidence. Love gives us confidence. In fact, here's what John said. We, 18 to 20, out fear. Love and fear incompatible. How to, when a ship sinks, I mean, you can try to, you know, wrap stuff around it and lift super, super hard. You know another way that they float a sunken boat? Or they fill it. Because air drives out water. Put airbags in or around, it drives out water. Ships don't float because they are naturally buoyant. They're made out of steel. You know how they float? Because the air in them pushes aside the water. That's how they float. Steel doesn't float. Boat keeps it afloat. And darkness. So God's love drives out fear. If you're sunk, He fills you up to let Him do that with His love, with that confidence that hits yourself up by your own bootstraps. Because love and fear are incompatible. Light drives out darkness. And so, fear God, I mean, there's that question. Should we fear God? Yes. In one sense, we should. But there's a huge difference between terror. There's a huge difference between awe. Awe says, that's amazing. I'm kind of shaking in my dread says, I don't want any part of that. It's great dread. That's not what God wants. God sent Him through His love so that we gladly look forward to the awesome day when He will be face to face. Welcome into His presence as His children. Reverence and terror. Fear is relationships. Let me put it this way. Wherever there's fear gone wrong, I'll give you a couple of illustrations. If you don't have a good relationship with that animal, okay, it's afraid of an enemy. You might be afraid. You know, and I think about some of the big dogs that I know, scary dogs. But if I have, right, there's no fear. Might be a scary dog, might be capable. If I've got a relationship, if that relationship's not fractured, I'm not saying God's a dog. But fear doesn't allow love to be complete. The focus is just on ourselves. When somebody lives in fear, God's love can't result not of a fractured relationship, but of a secure. Times in the Bible, people are told, don't be afraid. Fear, God was approaching them. The awesome God who made the universe, relationship. The closer we are, and why sometimes people are afraid to get close. What will people really do if they really, that's because of fractured relationship, but what a wonderful thing to come into as the real you. It says, but I love you anyway. And when we love, see, God's life in us is confirmed. Security is actually in Him. And that step to give what we're not even getting. 18 to 20. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue. Get practical, in other words, he says. Sometimes a practice, but he's saying, let's just not talk about it. Let's actually do what people need. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest and condemn us. Wait a second. Let's love people in practical ways, in the ways they need. When we do that, that's how we know. That's how our hearts get set to rest. In other words, when you love that way, when you centered, self-sacrificial practice, it's going to help you know you belong to the truth. It's going to calm your heart. Do you sometimes have doubts? That's what this book, sometimes have guilt. Do you sometimes have those feelings of failure? Yeah, the of our souls uses against us. He wants to drive us to look only at ourselves and forget about caring about other people, ourselves, and either be super proud, right? Super shameful. The opposite of calm way. He wants you obsessing over yourself. And you, when you love, do you want to know God in a more intimate way? I mean, do you want to have greater... John says, love somebody. Do more good things so that you won't feel so guilty. That's not what he's talking about. He just says, with words or tongue. Let's love in practical ways. And that's going to help you feel that works. In fact, I've put it, I was feeling guilty. When I was feeling shameful, when I wanted to turn inside, I did something self-sacrificial, other-centered, or practical. Do that thing, and the confidence grows. Sense of God's presence grows. You belong, grows. Love somebody. Try it. So, who should we love? Loved us. If anyone said, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, whom he has not seen. John has exposed several false claims. Let me give you a couple of them. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, he says, if we claim to have, we lie and do not live by the truth. Okay, so if you're still right, that's a lie. 1 John 2, 4 says, the man who says, I know, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So John says, okay, says, but now he boldly says it. A person's relationship with God, if they've got broken relationships with their brothers and sisters. And let me ask you, have you ever been or wanted to see them again? Oh, right? They'd be gone forever. One, how was your prayer life during that time? Because, you know, I've been through this, right? When you and venom for somebody else, how much did you understand of God's word? How easy was it for you to rest and experience his peace during that time? My guess is we show our love for the unseen members of his family. And some people say, well, I'm part of his family. I don't need the church. Well, yeah, you can do that. You know, your ass with a bag of air, okay? I'm just picturing a sicko throwing the ball. Yeah. Friends, church, that's where God's love is lived out and experienced, grow in love. And especially when it gets challenging and difficult, when you work us through, that's how we grow in love. That's how we grow. Michael says, if monotony, she's a famous missionary, if monotony, and I cannot stand drudgery, if stupid people fret, set me on edge, if I make much of the trifles of. Now sometimes we can't mend a broken heart. He is unwilling to be at peace. And here's what you're saying, wait, Chris, a good relationship with God if I've got a broken relationship with somebody else? Bible says to that, because God understands that that's the reality sometimes. It says, do everything that's in your power to be at peace in Romans. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If God loved people, we can love. You know, God had to reach a lot farther than to love somebody. Just stop right now. Think of this to love. And if they are sitting next to you, okay? But think of the hardest person you have to love. And to you from that person. Well, they just don't. Nasty and selfish and, you know. Think of all that separates you from that person. Whatever separates you, good, wonderful person who just means the best all the time, and then this person who's just, all that separates you from them is a fraction sliver of a hair. God and love us. We can reach. We're love. Now that's what makes it different. In the world, people love. They do. But usually, but for a follower of Jesus, not because I've got all this love in me to give. Christian is not better than the person who doesn't know Jesus. Know Jesus? Or if you don't know that you know Jesus, here's one thing that I really do want you to know. It's that because we think we're better than you. We're not. We might be worse than you. Christians aren't better than someone better. And I can love when I'm getting nice filling. That's where we get it from. Christians have been able to love a world that not only gives them nothing and hurts them in return for their love because we're filling. And think about what that would accomplish when we would love like that. The world can outdo the church on just about every front. They got more money, sophisticated than us. They got better tech. But you know what the world cannot do without Jesus? They just can't do it. And the world craves it. Crave it. D.L. Moody said the churches would soon be filled if outsiders could find them when they came. This love draws, win them first to us, and then we can win them to Christ. So, I don't know how many times I've said I preached this ago, and somebody actually kept count of the number of times I said sex in a sermon. So maybe somebody was keeping count, but here it is. Here's how we end. He's given us this command. Who, brother? That's his command. So let me just end with this, people, right? Just, love isn't just being cordial or having good manners, although good manners is part of love, that's right? But it's not just those things. Love is willing what is best for someone else, even when it comes at a price, even when it would be so. Sometimes love means you do that big favor. Sometimes love means you be with someone who needs something. Sometimes love means a pot of soup delivered to the door. Delivering some hard work. God has asked me, I didn't want to, and I was scared of it, and it would have been so much more convenient. And God says, but that's not loving. You see, do they need? Not what do I want to give them? That's looking at me. What do they need? Do what is self-sacrificial, practical, what they need. How can I do it? Where can I start? I mean, the next person you encounter in the line for soup, when you get the next person that I look in the eye, need from me, give them that. Man, what do they need? What do they need? If you would do that, you'd change the world. Just keep on doing that. Our musicians would come lead us in a closing song. Lord, thank you so much. It's hard. It's hard to love. And it's easy and it feels good. And other times, it's just the last thing. Oh, Lord, thank you that when you looked down, thank you, Lord God, that you didn't look at us and say, thank you that with infinite patience, you told us the truth, the hard truth we needed to hear about ourselves, but then you did something to help us out of the pit we had dug for ourselves. Oh, Lord, may your love shine out of us. In Jesus' name, amen.